A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread all the surrounding country. He began to teach in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and rolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your reading." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When I was growing up and finally got my driver's license, I was free. I could go out with my friends. But then the curfew came. And my curfew was set at midnight. I was frustrated with that because I had friends whose curfews were later or they had no curfew at all, which I couldn't understand. So sometimes when I was out, I would push the curfew a little bit, maybe 10, 15 minutes, and I'd be okay. I'd come home and follow the protocol, go into my parents' bedroom, report that I'm home, go to bed. But when I pushed the curfew maybe an hour or more, then trouble could happen. And I knew there was trouble when I was driving home and we lived in a rural area and I could see our house in the distance. And what would I see? The living room lights on, all the lights on. And then I knew my dad was waiting for me and we were going to have a talk. Now, I dreaded those talks. But as I look back, I know that they were conversations we needed to have to set things right. And we all need those kinds of conversations. This wasn't the only kind of conversation I had with my dad. I'd talk with my mom and dad about dating and marriage, about education and my vocation. And those conversations proved pivotal to help set me on my way. And there's sometimes we all need to come to these conversations to set things right and set us on our way. It was true for Jesus and his disciples as well. If we read along in Luke, in which this powerful passage comes from for this morning, we will see there are times that Jesus calls people into conversation. Sometimes it was because of inner turmoil. Sometimes the disciples would be talking about who's the greatest among us. And Jesus would say, "Hey, come here a minute. We need to have a conversation." Or sometimes some of them would think they're more principled and upright than the others and look on the rest with contempt. And Jesus would say, "Come here. We need to have a conversation." Sometimes it was to prepare people for ministry that was ahead. In Luke, we see he sends out the 70 two by two. And before they go out, he calls them in and say, "We need to have a conversation to prepare ourselves for what lies ahead." Sometimes we need to have these conversations. And that's why I wanted to do this series, Conversations We Need to Have. When I think about all that we're facing in the world right now, we're overwhelmed by it. It feels like it's this moment that God is saying, "Come here, let's gather together. There's some conversations we need to have." And so we're going to have some of those conversations. And we're going to begin with a conversation about faith. Because it's through the lens of faith that we see these issues, and it's through the lens of faith that tells us how we respond to these issues. So let's begin with a conversation about faith and what it means for us. To do that, I want to begin in another place, though. I want to talk about why I love ministry and I love Marble so much. Now, trust me, stay with me. They're connected, but it just takes me a minute to get there. One of the things I love about ministry, especially ministry at Marble, is this tremendous place where people have discovered the potential that God has created within them. It's remarkable. It's not just tens of people or hundreds of people or thousands of people. Millions of people over the years have been awakened because of faith to the potential that they have, the potential that God has given them. And that's a remarkable thing. What more joy is there to watch people's potential unfold? Now, in case I haven't told you, and I know I've told you, I'm going to be a grandfather soon, and I'm so excited. And already in my mind, because we're about 4 weeks away, I can picture holding little Nugget. That's what they call the baby right now, Nugget. And I can just imagine little Nugget in my arms for the first time. And I'm holding her there and looking down at her and just seeing this bundle of potential. And already I can feel the sense that I'm going to dream, who will she be and what will she do and what potential has God given her? And just watch that potential unfold in her life. It's so exciting. But at the same time, when there are those we know and love who stumble and fall or encounter roadblocks and challenges and just can't live into that potential, it's so hurtful to watch that because we know they were created for more. I know a woman who, as she grew up, really struggled. She lived with her mom, had a strained relationship with her mother, and her mother had set some expectations for her, and the expectations were low. In fact, she would tell her, "I'm not sure you'll ever finish school, that is high school, or if you need to." What does that tell you about yourself? And in those struggles and the struggle with poverty, she tried to find her way forward. And it was particularly hard during her teenage years. You know, teenagers, we all know, can be merciless. They can be unkind and hurtful. And she took in those insults. And day by day, she just gradually gave up. Why even try? Why even try? Now, all those who knew her could see that she had this kind heart and keen mind within her, but she could never see it within herself. And then one day in her 20s, she wandered into church. It wasn't wandering in with this big purpose or, "I need you, God." It was just kind of, "Why not?" And as she sat there, that first worship experience, she had this sense that, you know, I know I've given up on myself, but maybe God hasn't given up on me. And she continued this journey of faith until finally she embraced and believed that God had not given up on her. And she was created for so much more. And it's such a joy to see her flourish now. She has a wonderful family and a great career. She finally discovered the potential that God has given her. And there's a great joy in seeing that unfold in someone's life. Marble has seen that happen to so many people. And I know you all have your stories about the way you walked in broken and found healing and hope and were transformed, and you discovered the potential that God created for you. Ed Mulder, who used to work at Marble along with his wife, Luella, they both passed away in 2018, once said to a staff member actually at Marble, that every person that walks through our doors is searching for something more. And I believe that God created us all with this little whisper, this little voice that when we're struggling, just keeps saying, "We were made for more." If we didn't have that voice, we'd be content with giving up, but we never are because that voice is there just whispering, "We were made for more." And that's been the heartbeat of Marble, helping people through faith respond to that voice that we were made for more and be able to live into that more. And so this year, to center ourselves for the year, that is our theme. That is our goal, to help people discover that we were made for more. And we want to find ways to live into that more deeply. And that's what I want to explore with us this morning. Now, as we think about what it means to help people discover we were made for more, I now want to turn to the passage because it gives such a depth and breadth to that. Now, in this passage in Luke 4, Jesus has been preparing for his ministry. And the moment is coming in this passage when people are going to finally discover, what is Jesus' ministry about? What's the mission? What's the mandate? What's the ministry? And so Jesus is in the synagogue and he's called upon to read the text and then give the sermon. And so he stands up, and the text he reads is Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Now, this had been a passage that people had heard many times before. They knew it well. And in that passage, he reads these words, that the Spirit has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to set the oppressed free. Now, what's meant in that is more than what we think. To proclaim good news to the poor. Now, poor doesn't mean just poor economically or poor materially or poor financially. Poor, as we read through Luke, means all those that are excluded or marginalized. All those because of gender or age or economic situation or physical appearance or physical maladies are excluded from the community. And he's saying, for all you who have been excluded, all you who have been enslaved, all you who are in debt, it is wiped clean. You're free now. You're finally free. What a powerful message. But this message has always been received as someday. Someday those things will happen. Someday, maybe the earth will be like this or the world will be like this. And for the church, it even defers it to heaven. Someday when we pass from this life to the next, maybe, or then, finally then, we'll live in a world like this. And church becomes heaven's holding station, waiting till we get to that day when we finally experience that reality. But Jesus says something different. Notice what Jesus says at the very end of the reading. He says, today. Today. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, all the waiting for someday, we keep saying someday, 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 we'll live into God's dream. Jesus says, today is the day it begins. Today is the day together we begin into this reality, this dream of God, this reign of God in which all people finally will be free. As I think about this and what this means, I think about how the church can always focus on someday. Someday the world will be like this. Someday we'll do something about this. We're also good at yesterdays. Yesterday we did this. Yesterday we did that. But Jesus' mission, his mandate, the ministry he has given us says, today is the day. And as I think about this, today is the day to help people live into this freedom. Today is the day to help people discover that we were made for more. And here's the question that I have for us all. If there was something that got in the way of people becoming that more that God has created them for, wouldn't we want to do something about it? If there was something that held people back and put them down so they could not fully live into who God created them to be or be embraced or received as who God created them to be, wouldn't we do something about it? And I think the answer is definitely yes. In fact, we have, if we look back in our history. You know, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale was a powerful speaker and very popular about changing one's attitude and the power of positive thinking, but his ministry was so much deeper than that. While he proclaimed the message of faith in Christ and his transforming power, he also discovered that there's times that people need outside help. They need therapy. They need psychiatric care. They need medication. And so in the basement of marble, this ministry started that provided those kinds of services, even when there was a stigma attached then, because the ministry wanted to do everything it could to help people rid themselves of those challenges so that they could live into who God created them to be. Now, as I think about this in Jesus' words, the inaugural words for his ministry, Jesus is pointing to other things that hold people back and put people down, that don't allow them to become fully who God created them to be. And it's not personal brokenness. It's those things that work their way into systems and society that hold people back and put them down. The things that hold people back and put them down because of race or gender. And if we know that those things are holding people back, if those things are oppressing people, are holding them captive, wouldn't we want to do something about it to fully live into the calling that we have to help people discover that we were made for more? Well, of course we would. And that's why we talk about things like racism and sexism and injustice and inequality, because these are things that are oppressing people. These are things that are holding people captive. And I know, and I've talked to many of you, some of you will say we haven't talked about these things before. And maybe we haven't much, but we really need to. Because if these are things that are holding people captive and oppressing people, then God is calling us to be agents of transformation in society so that people can finally be liberated. Because we will never be that more unless all of us become that. So as we enter into this new church year, here's what I'm asking for: two covenants, two commitments that we can make together. The first is this: can we covenant together to explore more fully what it means to help people discover we were made for more? And then two, can we covenant together to be open to explore all the challenges all the obstacles, all the things that weave its way into society and institutions that can oppress people and hold people captive. Because if we believe that Jesus came with this liberating message to set us free, then we're going to need to address all the powers and principalities that prevent that from being possible. I believe that if we covenant to do these things together, that God will lead us into ministry in bigger and bolder ways so that finally every person can respond to that whisper within them that says, we were made for more. And may it be so for all of us. Amen.